Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg back in our usual spot. A weekend morning. We're going to get our Saturdays back here in just a little bit too, Mr. Crenshaw. But yeah, we start off this fifth day of January. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning. Listen, everybody that is in the Kennesaw area, I say that because I had a couple trips there yesterday.
Okay.
And I didn't write nothing down, so I decided I'm going to reach out to Kennesaw. Had went by to college yesterday.
Say hello to the owls.
Said hello to the owls.
Hootie hoo!
Chastain Road, I was up and down and went over there. Listen. So there are shout out first responders, teachers, everybody who's helping folks out there. Emergency.
He means the
folks.
Teachers, because the teachers go back to work tomorrow. The teachers have had some time off.
They deserve it.
Yeah, well, they're going back to work tomorrow.
Okay. A lot of people going back to work tomorrow.
Matter of fact, I was talking with a teacher yesterday. He says, yeah, it's the final countdown. I said, yeah, it is.
It's a song by Europe.
Yeah. But they're back tomorrow. The traffic will be back tomorrow.
That's the other thing.
All everything will be, you know, if you got to move around today, understand that tomorrow, you know, all kicks back in.
Yeah. Well, except for one thing or two things. You and I won't be getting up at dark 30 coming in doing a morning
show.
That
will not be happening tomorrow.
Those folks with the big checks are going back to work, too.
The normal folks will be around tomorrow.
Yes, they will be back. But it was nice kind of, you know, it's like going and staying at your relative's house for a couple days. That's what we did. We post-Christmas, we did those 2 days, and then last week. See, that's why I don't have a story of the week this week. I mean, we could get some obvious ones, but it was, you know, we like contributing. We do what we do, and that's a contribution to the station. But when we step in, and I won't say we're like the backup quarterback, but we come in and help out the folks.
We step in and we do what we do to help move things along.
Absolutely.
We keep it moving.
And happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when the grandbaby comes over to visit the grandparents' house. Hey, we're happy to play with it. But after a few hours, you can take your baby back.
Somebody come get this kid.
Come on
when you get ready.
We love you. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings, but also for support. We heard from a lot of people, a lot of you out there that listen to us on Sundays who, in some cases, tripped and fell into us.
Yeah, on a weekday morning. You know,
When y'all start doing this. And but those of you who purposely came out and let us know that we were working with you. Listen, I got to say off the top, I'm a little nervous. We're going to find out what's going on here, but first of all, being back with Noelle.
Yep.
And we missed her for a good bit of what we were doing during the holidays, but she came back. We worked with her last Wednesday, but she came in here this morning and dropped off a package in the studio and then left.
And then left?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
That's how they used to do it.
It's like sliding something under the door.
Exactly. Came in here smiling.
Away, right?
She got her nails done, her hair. Yeah. Maybe she's going to be on camera here later on. She's going to come and just step right in here and do the show.
We don't know.
Noelle and Selah. 6-9 here on 92.9.
You know what I mean? That would be the takeover, wouldn't it?
It would be. But we are so happy to have her back. Just to be back here, man. And throughout the show, we will, you know, make mention of some of the things that happened to us over the holidays and things that happened. But at some point, and let's just a little bit right now, I just say New Orleans, period. We don't have to talk about the game. We don't have to talk. Just overall, New Orleans.
Yeah.
And when we were on the air, it's interesting too, because when Sam and I do our show, a lot of times things break just before or during our show, Saturday or Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And then there are times where it would happen like on a Monday, and we're the last person to give our opinions on something.
Right.
But this time, we were the first.
You were right there at the very beginning of this.
And I want to tell our audience publicly that my partner, the respect. I don't know that there's any more room, near the ceiling for the respect I have for him. But if there was one of those little openings, you would have went through it, because you went into a mode working the phones to your TV contacts or seeing if you had any in New Orleans when everything broke. And like I said, it was a side of you I hadn't seen, because obviously a situation like that hadn't happened. There are times where you reach out to people, but I just wanted to tell you that it was like I said. I was so glad to have you here next to me when that news broke.
Yeah, but you did an excellent job of relaying that, and as we were getting this, because we were getting bits and pieces of it, and we wanted to make sure we're getting it from a credible source. That's the first thing,
exactly.
Most of all. But then to pass things along, and then Jeff Sintel joins us from down there and really painted the picture.
Yeah,
for where things were going and just the overall mood of the day of everybody that was down there. So. It was something, and you watched the press conferences, and it left you feeling a certain kind of way on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
The second day, I think the press conference was better than the first day. But obviously, when something like that's happening, people are then investigations going on. You're shutting down this major thoroughfare,
and emotions.
Oh yeah,
are way up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's hard to remove emotions from that kind of situation.
The move to delay the game a day was
smart.
Was very smart. As a matter of fact, I thought it might have been delayed a couple of days.
People said that.
But the move to delay it a day was best. And when you talk about the outcome of the game, and we'll get into that as we go along today, how things transpired, and people talk about the off time for all the teams that got the bye.
Mm-hmm.
All the teams that got the bye lost. Ironically, and we think about that with our baseball team. The last time they, won and got the bye, and how flat they came out.
That's right. You like to say the bats went to sleep.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. I don't know if it was a little bit of that or just the teams that they faced just rose to the occasion this time.
And there was something to be said for where the FCC now sits in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
They're not top of the mountain anymore.
Well, not right now. And a lot of people are quickly, the national prognosticators are quick to want to pronounce the SEC, off tap the brakes, man. Tap the brakes, because it does not mean the SEC is going anywhere. It's just for this year, you'll see some different faces. And there's an SEC team there. There's Texas. They're the one that's spending the big bucks. Once again, they're going to come back and knock on the door. Can we bring our cow? if they win, and we're going to turn them away for a third time, I guess. But we, that's a whole other conversation.
But, again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All of that being said, this is the part you will understand. People who've listened to this show will understand how I, unfortunately, connect with Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And when I heard that news about him losing his father, it didn't matter how he lost him. It was the fact that it happened the timing of it, and this on the heels of I've said this before, I'm going to say it again publicly. As far as I'm concerned, you can give 2024 back to the Pilgrims. I feel a lot of people are feeling that way. There's something about that year, this year behind us, there was glass half empty or glass half full, because people went through some stuff last year. And I lost my father. I lost my brother, too. I haven't talked about that on this show. I lost three family members last year, all in one year. And so I've gotten through it. I'm on the other side of it, and I've talked about it at all. But when I got the news about Kirby Smart and his family,
yeah.
I just had this void inside me that I didn't talk about with Tracy. I didn't talk about with anybody. Just it was there. And I was like, damn. And I now have that relatable sort of inner gut feeling when this happens to people.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly or however. But anyway.
Just the way this all happened.
Yeah.
With him and his coach, obviously someone he patted himself after, because his father had been a coach as well, a high school coach. His father, Sonny Smart. And so our thoughts and our condolences go out to Coach and his family, obviously, for what he's having to deal with. I mean, he's got to be drained.
Absolutely. And it won't hit him.
He has to be drained right now. I was going back and forth with a relative that last night, and we were talking about, you know, all the stuff that's happened with him this week and to have this to start the new year. So, you know, really, we are thinking about Coach Kirby Smart and the family.
Absolutely. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. So this first Sunday show that we are doing this year, we're going to let you know what's coming up here. Kyle Sandy's going to join us. We got some high school hoops going on, and Kyle is our man. We send you to Sandy Spiel, too, to check out his website, which, by the way, is one-stop
shopping. He's got the state rankings right now. I've been checking them out, who's at the top. And, you know, you come through that part of the schedule, the holiday tournaments, you're getting ready to get into your region play. These are the games that help get you seated for the state tournament. So, you know, we're getting ready to head into that part.
So we have that, and Caleb Johnson wanted me to apologize to our audience. He was going to join us this morning, but whatever reason, didn't
realize. Hawks got you burning the midnight oil right
now. Yeah, he's like, I forgot I'm doing a West Coast game, and I can't do it. And he was going to come on and talk Hawks. And
boy, they've hit a snag out west. I mean, they won that first game of the trip up in Toronto, and since that time it's been, you know, difficult. Some players have been out that haven't yet, that normally play. Jalen Johnson got a breather last night, didn't play. Bogey didn't play against the Lakers. DeAndre Hunter, only 3 points. I mean, he's been a big contributor, and that kind of makes a difference in that ball game. So they still got more games out west. Let's see if they can regroup before they head for home. But it's been a rough patch. We knew this was going to be a difficult road trip.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We got Utah next. But, again, Terrell Thomas is going to join us. He's stepping in. Well, actually, I shouldn't say Terrell stepping in. Terrell's part of the fabric of this show. So he's going to join us coming up. I am excited to introduce you folks to a man I met. I met him for the first time yesterday, but we've been talking over the last few weeks. He's in the industry, but he has something to offer to our audience. I am going to do my best in 2025 to start bringing people from the film industry, as I do the casting call, on that have really, really kind of fun jobs, interesting jobs, and how they are all looking to grow. They need bodies out here. I was telling Noelle about this when she got in this morning. You know, those people who do what we're going to talk about this morning are looking for folks like yourself. And I'm talking about the stunt world. And it isn't what you may perceive it to be. But we talk to a lot of athletes. You and I have talked about athletes who didn't make it to that next level but took their athleticism to another sport, another venture. We've talked about those who've gone on and become NASCAR pit crew members.
Right.
Men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, again, one of those outlets you may not have thought about, but I'm going to introduce you to Chris Brewster this morning. He's coming up. Joe Patrick is going to join us before he partners up with John Fricke for today's Falcons game. And by the way, we have that for you here in case you can't get in front of a TV. But we are just getting started on this Sunday morning. I mean, let's make 2025 a whole lot better. Well, we can try that. As long as this thing doesn't blow up this front end that Noel brought into the studio. It's Sam and Greg.
I'm shaking to see if it's ticking.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 5th day of January. Went through that whole little diatribe earlier and didn't wish that all our audience had a wonderful holiday season. Hope that it was just very, very nice. Uneventful.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you guys are looking forward to 2025. I had to say that.
Yeah.
All right, let me sit back down. It's cold out there, y'all.
Yeah, it is.
It's cold.
You headed out. I don't know what kind of tailgating y'all going to do today, but, you know, the tailgaters don't care. Tailgate is going to be out there. It's going to be a little chilly on you now.
No, it's not going to be a little chilly. It's going to be cold.
Y'all wrap it up.
Layer up.
If you're going to be out there for the last game.
I have worn this thing forever, since I was actually up there last.
Okay, okay.
I'm rocking National League.
Look at it. I'm a National League man. Look at it.
I'm the league that brought in Jackie Robinson.
See.
And by the way, today was the day he retired.
Really?
Jackie shut it down on this day, 57, never played a game when the Dodgers went out to California. He was going to get traded to the Giants. And he said, I'd rather retire than play for the Giants.
Play with them dudes.
And he shut it down. Today was the day that Jackie Robinson, 1957, retired from baseball. Anyway, we're going to talk to Kyle Sandy coming up before the end of this hour. Let you know what's going on high school basketball-wise. Did you get a chance to watch any NFL action from yesterday?
I watched some of the game. I glimpsed a little bit of the first game, but more the second game.
Okay.
To watch Joe Burrow do what he's done tremendously this season on a team that, you know, right now they're on a wing and a prayer. They're just hoping they get lucky. Some things have to take place for them. They got to play the waiting game today. Mm-hmm. But the Bengals were winners over the Steelers 19-17. What do you make of this Pittsburgh team?
I don't know, and I'm glad you brought that up because it begins and ends with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a problem with this dude since he was with Pete Carroll. I just don't. No, I'll give him the touchdown sign. It's just something about him, not the person, but the player.
Yep, and some of the decisions.
Exactly, and he still thinks his legs at T26, and that's the problem. And he doesn't seem to want to. He does from time to time, like before he got to Mike Tomlin. 90% of it was Russell figuring he could knock things out, and 10% he'd listen to the. You know, the coaching staff. Then when he got with Pittsburgh, he had no choice. He had to listen because he got put on a bench.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But I
and also realize you get down to only so many stops.
There you go.
Right?
There you go. And are you ready to be that backup?
Yep.
I'm going to throw this out there. Would you have a problem with him as Michael Penix Jr.'s backup? If he would take it.
If he would take it. You know, that's the thing. A player like him, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, but
shine as a backup.
Well, shine as a backup, but also somebody that's a good resource for him for Penix to have. Mm-hmm. I would think a good voice to come to and whatnot. I don't know how much you want to press him into that starting situation, but he's someone that you know if you had to press him in for some time, he could go in and give you some good things like he's done in Pittsburgh.
He's coming in here, having to know that he's going to be the backup. His contract's done with Pittsburgh, and he had a chance. Now he beat out Justin, but you know. Listen, Justin kind of did that to himself during Pittsburgh. I just feel like Mike Tomlin has put everybody, injuries aside, put that team in a position to win. We saw what they did leading up to these last few games. You know this was going to be a meat grinder for the end of the season for Pittsburgh. That's why they got all the – listen, they're in the playoffs because of what they did the you know,
just like
the majority
the game,
of the
just
season.
Like the game they won here without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, there you go.
To start the season, right? We kind of helped them with that.
So I just – I feel bad. I don't feel bad for him, but I shake my head because I don't know what else Mike Tomlin could do.
No.
And this seemed like it was a year that he could get off that schneid as far as losing, you know, in the playoffs right away, getting kicked out right away, having a team that could possibly go, you know, maybe past that first round of playoff games. You still had that juggernaut of other teams in the AFC. But Pittsburgh was they were right there with everybody. And Russell Wilson felt like he was coming around to fit into this system and not go sideways and go rogue like he has from time to time. My thing is when I watch him play, he doesn't scramble around in the pocket like he used to. Instead, he takes one or two steps and then, boom, he's out of the pocket. But, yeah, he can't run away from nobody anymore. And therein lies the rub for me with that team. T.J. Watt is what he is on the defensive side, but he's just one person.
Yeah.
And he kind of nicked up. So, you know, at the end of the day, is anybody going to put their mortgage rent against Kansas City?
Yep. You know, no, because, you know, not as long as the quarterback shows up, not as long as that dude shows up, man, and he's not in the MVP conversation this year. He's not in it. But you know what? His team is right where he wants it to be. And, you know, ring the bell when the playoffs start. They always slide it up a notch.
See,
you know?
This is what we should be getting. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jackson, this represents from our youth. What were the three that rotated on a regular basis in the AFC? You had Oakland beating up on the Steelers beating up on who was it? I just lost the other AFC team back in the day.
Miami.
Those three always went at it. I just feel like the taste in Lamar Jackson's mouth right now is bitter in a way that this could be the year that Baltimore gets past Kansas City. Kansas City getting up there. They got some age on them. Travis Kelce is not what he used to be. But I see bounce and it's a dynamic offense that Baltimore brings when all things are clicking. He's throwing. It's as if the game has slowed down finally for Lamar Jackson, like it has for Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes is kind of nicked up. There's age. There's tread off the tires on this Kansas City offense in a way that I feel like this is the year that Baltimore can get past them. I'm not throwing numbers out. That's not what we do here. But if you want to, that's fine. The MVP is sitting there playing in Baltimore. That's a done deal. I don't care about this conversation between him and Josh Allen anymore.
He's the first player in NFL history to amass 4,000 passing yards and 900 rushing yards in the season.
And he became the all-time rushing leader. Hello, Michael Vick.
Yep.
We'll see you.
Yep. Yep.
Right past him.
Coach.
Coach Vick.
Coach Vick.
Did you see him getting the whistle? They did a little thing on
really?
It. Jimmy Johnson brought him the coach's whistle.
Gave him a whistle.
Gave it to him. This is what I'm looking at. Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, if they get in, they could make some noise. But I think this is the year. We were talking about this beforehand, about Brett Favre. And I asked the question, did Brett Favre get his Super Bowl after his third MVP? It was one of those things where he needed that. Now, he's a different kind of quarterback, obviously, than Lamar. But as everybody has heard, this dude, if it was given to him and he had a chance to give it back to make sure that he got a chance at that ring, he would do so in a minute. Listen, and think about the credentials already with Lamar Jackson.
That's true.
He should have two Heismans. He should be right there with Archie Griffin. And I told you that because I was on Lamar.
I don't know if even the Heisman voters, I won't say they think that way, but I don't know if you've seen anybody win that thing twice.
You don't think that's going to happen again?
I don't think so.
You're kind of right because people thought Tim Tebow was going to win it twice.
Yeah.
And they kind of pushed him off the side, too.
Johnny Football had a second shot at it. Nope. You know? I think we got somebody that's ready to give us the sound. We haven't heard in a while.
Oh.
Is she here?
Hey, good morning.
Hey!
Come in here. We found out what she brought in here and dropped off.
Yeah, man.
But would you like to?
Yeah, I brought some cinnamon rolls this morning.
Yeah.
Thought it'd be a nice touch to the morning. But to add context to what Greg was saying about Brett Favre, he won his second MVP when he got the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And then he won one the year after. But he won back-to-back three. In a row, so I think that bodes well for Lamar.
Well, the third one wasn't it? He was tied with Barry Sanders. They split that. I
in 97, I think you're right. 97.
Yeah, the last one was split between him and Barry Sanders. But you know, are we looking at that? What are you looking at right now? I'll just pose it this way instead of qualifying it. What are you looking at right now when you see Lamar Jackson?
I'm looking at. I hate to say it that way, but being from here and him surpassing Vic, I'm looking at the Vic I always wanted.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Vic that read the playbook and took it a little bit more seriously. But this is also...
And was also mentored by the same coach that was supposed to do that for Vic here.
He was, Bobby thing, Petrino. Right? Yep.
Petrino was his coach in Louisville, right?
And that's what I was going to say, Sam, to piggyback on that. He also has the benefit of watching Vic, the blueprint, and, you know, staying out of some of the pitfalls and taking the positives of them and adding to them. Because Vic figured it out in Philly, right? But we had to, you know, take a vacation... And then come back, and then it wasn't the Vic experience.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar has been able to do this and give the Lamar experience. Like, we're knocking on 1,000 yards rushing with Derrick Henry in the backfield. Yeah.
And the thing of it, he stayed healthy. And I think Derrick Henry has helped him in that regard.
Yeah.
Everything has helped him stay healthy because that was always the question with Vic. How do you allow him to do what he does but still, you know—
And I think learning the playbook is the difference maker.
Absolutely,
when you know the plays and you don't feel like, to Greg's point, you have to do what Russell Wilson's doing right now, which is take off and run. When you don't see, you know, when your first or second read isn't there, Lamar's able to sit in the pocket a little. And I think that's what last season gave him. He got crucified for it, but being able to sit in the pocket longer, go through his progressions and reads, and see if he can get that ball downfield. And then if not, it turns into flag football, right? Like, it's like, who can snatch the flag off Lamar before he get into the end zone? And the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
It's wild to see. Like, I was watching a slow-mo breakdown of one of his runs yesterday, and not only did it look like Vic, but it looked like Vic in that flag football way.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
In that you can make all pro professionals look silly.
Yeah.
And that's what he, I mean, because you're in a division with a pretty dominant Bengals defense, a dominant Browns defense, Pittsburgh State, the Iron Curtain is their identity. And you find ways to make them look silly. Mm-hmm. So if you can make them look silly two times a year, what are you doing to the rest of us?
Yeah. Yep.
Ozzy. That's all Ozzy. Mm-hmm. Jumping back in that draft, 32, and then you're a rookie getting drafted to one of the best teams, if not the best team in football, because you're drafting 32 for, I mean, it's just.
That's the other thing, is being drafted with the right type team.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what that's happened to some other quarterbacks.
Landing in the wrong spot.
In the wrong spot, man.
You got to win one game.
We might be seeing that with the team we play tonight here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And we'll talk about him some this morning. I think Bryce Young has really been through it this year. He just fell into a rough situation. Think about a guy who had a charmed existence through high school, played at Alabama, where you had everything you needed, the best of everything, and you fall into utter chaos up in Charlotte. You know what I mean?
But I think he handled it so cool. Like, when I saw him play here last year, even with all the chaos around him and the locker room and the front office and the ownership, whatever, he just looks so cool in that pocket. You can call him diminutive or whatever size you want to put him on or whatever, but he looks so cool and unfazed. He sits in the pocket. He slings the thing all over the place. And really, if you had enough confidence around him with the franchise, I don't think you have some of the pitfalls that he had. And maybe Kyler Murray was in a similar situation and on. And it really just goes to show how important not just talent but fit is in the whole scheme of things. Like, you got to fit the scheme.
Well, just to say, coaching.
That's why Bo Nix is looking amazing. Like, nobody hates it more than me. Nobody hates it more than me. I want to poo-poo it so bad.
But it's
the exact fit for Sean Payton, and that's why this works. Not that he can't be an NFL quarterback, but to be an effective game manager in the way he's been is the perfect quarterback for Sean Payton, and I hate it so much.
Ooh, I had something I have to say, but I can't because we look at the time, and I can hear Mike Condi in our ear.
34, yeah.
We got to shut up.
All right.
We're going to come back here and turn things over to Kyle Sandy, find out what's going on with high school basketball. But remind me to get back to you with this coaching thing with Baltimore, because I got something to say about the Harbaughs. I got something to say about the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh. Kind of look a lot like Atlanta last year.
Oh, I want to hear that. You know, I got a lot to say about that guy, too, but you know.
Sam and Greg, take us with you in the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg on this fifth day of January. Folks, it is cold outside, so layer up if you're heading out. Sunday service, you're going to do some tailgating, joining John Fricke and Joe Patrick out there at the Northside Lot. Falcons kick off against Carolina at 1 o'clock. By the way, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got that for you here. Pre-game at 11 o'clock. 1 is kickoff. And then tonight, the biggest TV show in the country has the biggest game of the year.
How about that?
Regular season game.
Yep.
You got Minnesota at Detroit tonight, and that will be on pre-game at 7:30 here. Kick at 8:15, again, if you can't get in front of a TV. Hawks at Utah, by the way. We're talking Hawks, and we're going to talk more with Terrell Thomas coming up. They're going to continue this West Coast trip against Utah on Tuesday night, and we'll have that game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet, and they take on Phoenix on Thursday. And a lot of people trying to put Phoenix, you know, on the back burner already. They're saying
somebody's saying that they could use a certain player that's disgruntled down in Miami.
Jimmy Butler, how do you back Pat Riley into a corner?
I don't know.
This dude did it. You see how he got his hair going? The rolls he put in his hair, he got different colors highlighting the teams he want to play with. Yeah. He wants to play with. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
He had green a couple days ago. Oh, I want to play with the Bucks. Then he had orange. Oh, I want to go to Phoenix. So that's what they're saying. That's what that represents when you see him. Anyway, do we have our guest, bow tie and all? Let's welcome
him. I don't know if he's got the bow tie on at this hour.
Might be going to church after us. I don't know.
He may have was one that he sleeps in or something.
Sleeping in a bow tie? What is he, Charles Kuralt?
You know, he
there's a name you didn't think you'd hear when you woke up.
He's Kyle Sandy. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. That's right. How was everyone's New Year? Did you guys shoot off some fireworks, or was everyone very safely tucked away at home?
Sam and I had to come on the next morning, so we were doing mornings last week. So, yeah, we were in, and I have a dog, like a lot of dog owners out there who know that fireworks make their dogs schizoid. And that's basically what I just made that word up. That's what Jesse was.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, we were holding Jesse down. She was shaking all night long while these fireworks are going off. So that was mm-hmm. my New Year's Eve.
But you've seen a lot of fireworks, though, here in the last couple of weeks, a lot of holiday tournaments. There were a couple of showcase events that took place around the area yesterday. I know you were checking out this game with Buford and North Oconee, the North Oconee boys, like a tight one there. What's the thing that you enjoyed most, the things that kind of jumped out during this holiday time with these basketball teams?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with that North Oconee and Buford game. We'll touch on that in just a second. But just during the holiday season, obviously there's so much basketball to be seen. People are playing pretty much daily since there's no school in session. But you see teams come from all different types of the state, all different areas, and they come and see teams that they don't usually get to play against. So we had even Johnson of Savannah come up and play at Monroe area yesterday at the Sandy Spiel shootout. So you just get to see teams from all over come and play one another, teams that you might not see until you get deep runs into the state tournament. So they say styles make fights, and that's what we saw with North Oconee versus Buford. North Oconee, huge inside, 6'8". Banks Porcher had 22 points. Kamari Brooks, who I'm sure you heard about him on the football field, scoring a touchdown and leading his team to a state championship. He was just a bully inside with 18 points and 11 rebounds. But Buford, small, scrappy, well-coached. Wes Parker does a great job, undersized, but they shoot the three exceptionally well. They had 12 or 13 three-pointers to make that game tight, scrappy, just fight the entire time. But North Oconee pulled it out at the end, 67-69 at the Sandy Spiel shootout. It was a really, really good game, fun game to close the day on.
Hey, Kyle, we talk about this in the NBA a lot, but is there any kind of difference between pre-New Year's and post-New Year's when it comes to high school basketball? You know, they say the players in the NBA, they really start playing, you know, harder after Christmas and so on and so forth. Is that the case, however you'd like to put it, but is there a little difference between beginning of the season and this cutoff where the New Year starts?
Yeah, I think teams start to gel. You start to kind of understand expectations of the coach, and rotations kind of form themselves out. And, you know, sometimes there's some players that maybe are hurt at the beginning of the season, or maybe there is the potential of an eligibility issue, and maybe they're coming back after the new year begins. But at this time, you're pretty much gripping onto the reins, and you're hitting the stretch run as far as region play goes. So that's when the coaches look down the bench and say, hey, I gave you about 12 games to show me that you can play at this level. Maybe we got to get you on the bench here and ride my horses down the stretch when everything really, really matters as far as playing for seeding and everything like that. But this is when you really do see teams round into form, find their identities, and this is when games really start to matter. Now, we talk about all these showcase games, and that's great. That's really just to test your mettle four times like this when region play really kicks into full drive. So, yes, I think this is really when you do see teams start to push their foot onto the gas pedal and strive for the finish line.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Kyle Sandy talking high school hoops. Always great to catch up with him, and he is social. Always find him at KyleSandy355, at KyleSandy355. I'm looking at the rankings in the largest classification in boys, and it seems like the road to the state championship goes through Cobb County. What they got in the water out there?
Yeah, there's some really good teams over in Cobb this year on the boys' side. Obviously, Wheeler's always a powerhouse. They're really, really tough to beat. They had a big performance from Anser McClain the other day. I think he had 31 points at that great New Year's Eve event, or New Year's event that they host at Grayson every single season. They're really tough. Walton boys have been really, really good this year. Caesar Burrows is a great player. Caden Gilstrap, who's signed to play baseball and, I believe, football as well at Wofford, but he's a great basketball player. They've been really tough throughout the season. McEachern played Grayson really tight just the other day. They're always a powerhouse, a force. So, and even Hillgrove, who has really, you know, had a great season, maybe not in the limelight as those other programs, but Hillgrove has done a great job of turning this program back around and has been very, very competitive at the statewide level. They're ranked number 9 in the state currently. But, yes, always it feels like great basketball is being played in Cobb County. But to be honest, you can find great basketball boys and girls all over the state of Georgia. So just to be in the Peach State, you're very, very lucky to be able to just be a stone's throw away from watching some top-level basketball.
You know, the thing is, Sam, that I didn't really pay that much attention to. I think I might have glazed over, but I'd forgotten that Kyle puts out a transfer list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, puts the transfer list out there. Not only that, as it says here on your website, here's a rundown of some of the transfers, you know, that you've heard about through the grapevine, but you are also seeking others. So anybody out there that may know of other possible transfers, you're asking them to reach out to you at KyleSandy355 or email you at KyleSandy355@gmail.com.
Yes, it takes a village. It takes a village. There's so many to track. I mean, every year it feels like we're getting near 200 transfers, and I'm sure I'm missing a ton throughout that entire process. But, yeah, that is a bear to track down in the off season. There's a lot of movement in the state of Georgia.
Is that a lot? I mean, when he says 200, that seems like a lot, but I don't know in 2024, 25 if that is. I mean, where is it?
I mean, gosh.
Is that crazy? Is that a crazy amount, or is that, you know, going to be the norm that you foresee looking forward, given the nature of how high school sports are run right now?
Yeah, you know, it's that trickle-down effect from college. The transfer portal is booming, and you see it at the high school level, and every single year it feels like high school is starting to feel more and more like the college level, and even, you know, NIL that hasn't necessarily blown up at the high school level just yet. But no, transfers, that they're here to stay. It is what it is. There's going to be people that do it the right way. There's going to be people that do it the not so right way. But it is just fun to track. You know, I've been doing this website for what, I guess officially 10 calendar years now.
Has it been that long?
Wow.
Yeah, 2015 is when sandyspiel.com opened, and we're 2025 now. So I'm getting old, but it is what it is. But yeah, teams and state championships sometimes it feels like are won and lost with the construction of their roster in the offseason. So when we say we have over 100 and maybe 200 transfers, I personally feel like that is a lot. And I feel like maybe we are one of those leaders in the nation, but I'm sure Texas and all these huge states and California, I'm sure it happens nonstop over there as well. But it's the nature of the beast now. If you're not happy where you are, people are going to take their kid and ship them elsewhere for whatever reason, whether it's sports or academics. A lot of factors, of course, are involved with that.
That's true. That's true. Spending time with Kyle Sandy. Kyle, I'm looking at the girls' rankings. I want 4A. I'm seeing Creekside up top, but, boy, you got some teams with some outstanding players right behind them in Kale and Maris. And Maynard Jackson is always in the conversation.
Yeah, 4A is a really fun classification. Obviously, you got Creekside, who you just mentioned, with CeCe Dennis, a sophomore, one of the very best players not only in Georgia, but really raising her stock to be one of the best players in the entire country, just a walking triple-double machine. It feels like when the game is needed to be won, she makes all those plays, a terrific point guard. But they're in that same region with Maynard Jackson, as you mentioned, who's always tough and, you know, won that state title. You see Midtown, who just got about 43 points, I think it was, from Devin Bachman, a junior guard, yesterday. I believe that was at the She Got Game Classic. So there's really tough competition there. Kell, as you mentioned, is really good when they have all their pieces in place. And then Marist won that state title last year. Kate Harpring, probably the best player in the entire nation. She is always a threat to go for 45, 50 points any single night.
Talk about her a little bit. I mean, she really got on a lot of people's radar last year who haven't followed closely with the big game she had in the state tournament. But talk about her, and we all know, you know, her dad and, you know, family and the fact that she's distinguishing herself in her own right. Talk about what people see when they get a chance to see her play.
Well, you just see a player that doesn't have any flaws in her game. Obviously, super well-polished. She's got a very strong frame. She doesn't get knocked off balance. She gets to her spots exceptionally well. She creates off the dribble. She's a tough shot maker. She hits turnaround jumpers. You know, early on in her career as a freshman, she really, really thrived at, you know, transition points, getting steals and going coast to coast. But now she just continues to add range to her game, does everything, quick instincts, rebounds the ball. She's every bit of a blue chip prospect, a five-star player, someone that you put on any single team in the state and you have a legitimate shot at winning a state title. She is the real deal. As far as carrying the load, she is must-see TV and only a junior, so you got another year to watch her. And anytime she is on the floor, Maris has a chance to win. And even if, you know, maybe they don't have all that superstar power all the way up and down their lineup, when you got the best player on the court, 99 to 100% of the time, you're always in a great position to win.
Hey, Kyle, Earlier you mentioned the trickle-down effect when talking about transfers. Has there been a trickle-down effect, and I don't know what it would look like, but with the popularity of women's basketball on the college level, obviously the WNBA, is that noticeable on the high school level and the world in which you walk around in?
I think we will see that, like the Caitlin Clark effect and everything like that in the future, in the years to come, because, you know, you have little girls that are watching her when they're 6 and 7 years old, and we haven't necessarily seen that come to fruition yet. They're still grown. We don't see it at the high school level yet, but watching her, Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, all those fun players, Paige Beckers, I think it does feel like there might be a new era of young lady hoopers that really love the game and have these athletes that they watch and they're exciting to see play and want to emulate them. So I think that we can see that rising up the ranks. And I think girls basketball, it's in a healthy spot, but seeing those players and, you know, championing them, what they've been able to do at the college level and now in the WNBA, I do think that girls basketball might see an uptick in the next couple years. And that's very, very exciting to see.
Absolutely, absolutely, because so much of that talent comes from our area. And, oh, you know, like I said, you look at the rosters, at the college rosters in March Madness, or you look at what's happened over at Georgia Tech. You know, Nell Fortner got mm-hmm. some area products to be a part of that program over there right now, and they're undefeated. And she's really proud of the fact that she was able to get some area products to stay home.
Yeah, they've done an amazing job. Danielle Carnegie, Player of the Year in the state of Georgia last year, leads Grayson to a state title, and it's no surprise she is dominating at Georgia Tech.
All right, listen, Kyle, you got to get your alarm clock set because this is just the beginning of our early morning calls here.
Yep.
So,
I'm good.
Let the wife know that these knuckleheads from, well, at least one of them, will be calling you up on Sunday morning. And by the way, we'll be getting our Saturdays back here soon. So we'll be calling
you.
Kyle Sandy, as always, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy New Year. And thank you for contributing to this show.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot,
Kyle. Kyle Sandy. Moving toward the 7 o'clock hour, Terrell Thomas to talk about these Hawks out there on the West Coast. Could be better, but I am looking forward to coming up later on in the hour, the 7 o'clock hour, introducing you all to a man who, by the way, has an offer for all of you out there. All of you, I don't know if I can say weekend warriors, but have, you know what, I'm not even going to say athletes, because you could be of all different body types to be a part of this part of the industry, the film industry. And I'm going to do it during the casting call segment, but throughout the upcoming year, I'm going to try to introduce you to some of the folks who are not just doing some really fun, interesting things, but giving you, our audience, an opportunity to be a part of it. That is all coming up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.